And thankfully, over our lifetime, we have seen doors that were closed, such as behind the Iron Curtain, have again been opened. And so we see that in history and in God's providence, doors open and doors close. The difficulty for the evangelist is how to get started. How do you get in? How do you get that open door and find your first audience that will desire to hear the message of the cross? One thing that an evangelist must be prepared for, or he himself will be a failure, and that is he must be prepared to fail.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I hope the Lord is with you and that the Lord is nigh to you, filling your heart with joy and gladness. Remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And here at Let the Bible Speak, we want to fill your heart with His Word. We are commanded to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. That earlier clip is a part of our message today, and in a few minutes we'll be turning to that from the pulpit of our church here. We begin today with our Bible reading, and that Bible reading is from Matthew 9 and verse 32. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitude marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The key text in this passage I would take as verse 34, He casteth out devils through the prince of devils. What a ridiculous statement that the Son of God used the devil's power to undo the devil. Well, I think that the devil is not that dumb and the Lord is not that weak. This accusation, however, does draw attention to the great battle between the forces of hell against the Son of God. Satan is real. Devils are real. That world of wicked fallen angels who are in rebellion to God seek to oppose God and wreak havoc on the church. But hallelujah, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. This he did when he brought to the Lord Jesus a dumb man possessed with a devil. Immediately, without any struggle or difficulty, the devil was cast out. Yes, Jesus is mightier than the powers of darkness. But how bitterly opposed the Pharisees were to recognize that this was the power of God. They stooped to the ridiculous statement, He cast out devils through the prince of devils. They made it out that the Son of God was in some league with Satan. These Pharisees, in their hostility against the Savior, because they did not want to recognize his power, for that would mean that they must recognize his teachings, and that in turn would mean a whole set of reforms in their own ranks, if they be honest and honorable men. Yes, it is easier to be stupid than change. That's right. It's easier to be stupid than change your views and beliefs. Wrong beliefs are like old houses that will not lend themselves to renovation. They are so warped and the foundation is so rotten that to begin to remodel would require demolition. Well, in reality, that is what apostate Judaism needed. and it was replaced with New Testament Christianity. The temple worship was fulfilled in the death of Christ. The types and shadows of the Old Testament worship, meaningful as they are to teach us about God, yet they are no more. We do not worship God by animal sacrifices and such, but we look to that one death and bloodshedding of our Lord Jesus. True religion today is to recognize that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he has all power to deliver from Satan. I want you to note that the Lord ignored this stupidity. He just went on. He went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Often it is best to leave the unbelieving opponent in his prejudice and go on to do good where the gospel will be heard. This is a lesson to us. Let us not get so hung up with opponents of the gospel that we waste our energy and cease to be effective at witnessing to those who will listen. That would only play into the devil's scheme. We have a work to do. Plead the blood of the Lord Jesus to cleanse and to keep us from the wicked one, and preach on. That is our calling, and that is our duty. May the Lord give us the grace to do so in the power of our Savior's wonderful name. Let's unite in prayer and ask for that power in our souls today. Dear Lord, we thank thee today for this example of thy power over the very minions of hell. We thank thee that this man who was possessed with a devil was delivered. We rejoice that thou hast delivered us. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we do rejoice in the grace, the liberty, and the blessings that come to us through the precious blood that you shed on the cross at Calvary. We rejoice today in that sacrifice offered for sin. We rejoice that that sacrifice has defeated the devil. And we plead the power of that blood over every work of darkness. We read in Revelation of the saints that they overcame the devil by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. And we pray today that thou wilt give power to thy people and to thy church. Lord, visit thy church in grace, visit thy people in blessing, and grant that thou wilt minister to us even in the very personal, real way as we hear thy word together. We ask this for the glory of thy name, for the honor of our Lord Jesus, and it is in his name that we pray. Amen.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Because he first loved me.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and I trust the Lord will stir your heart and bless you richly through his word today as we continue to look at the ministry of Paul the Apostle in the book of Acts. This message is entitled, When Opportunity Turns to Opposition. And oh boy, does that ever happen. I trust that you will listen in and join with us here in this message as we bring to you the message of the gospel. If we can be of further help, please take note of the phone numbers, the website, email, and be in touch with us. We would be delighted to hear from you, just to know that you are being helped and blessed through this broadcast. So stay tuned. May the Lord minister to your heart. As from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale, we open the scriptures to let the Bible speak to your heart?
Now, there's nothing that gladdens a preacher's heart more than that. We are so interested in what you've heard today, would you preach it again next week? Why, that would give the preacher a happy inside for a week, wouldn't it? That would encourage his heart. This is what they want to hear. And it was the Gentiles in the audience that said that. And so all week there was a big commotion. And the news spread, and the next Sabbath, we are told, almost the whole city gathered to hear the sermon. But while the Gentiles were excited, the Jews, who felt they owned the synagogue, that they were the real leaders, you read here in verse 45, the Jews saw the multitudes. They were filled with envy. They didn't like this. They saw that Paul and Barnabas were becoming too popular. And too popular with that crowd that are non-committed as proselytes. And the word envy here is bad zeal. They had a zeal to protect the synagogue, to protect tradition, to protect their own standing. And so they were filled with envy or bad zeal. And they opposed, and they spake against those things, and they got mad, and they spoke with blasphemies against Paul and Barnabas. And so that's why I have entitled this message tonight, When Opportunity Turns to Opposition. And it happens. And it happens over and over and over again when you go to preach the gospel. An evangelist, a Christian worker, a Sunday school teacher, vacation Bible school leader, an evangelist in a city, a preacher looking for a new opportunity, a door is opened. Seems that God is working. And then suddenly, the door is closing. And opposition and persecution begins. So what we need to deal with tonight is, what do you do when opportunity turns to opposition? That's what we need to look at in this passage. We need to see how Paul and Barnabas handled the situation. The first thing I would point you to is that opposition requires boldness to defend the gospel. We are told in verse 46, after this situation arose, verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. They didn't run. They didn't become cowards. This was no hour for mincing words. And you'll notice that they were unapologetic for the preaching of the word. They waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. You will see that they didn't start apologizing and said, oh dear, we've offended you. We have come and said things that have upset you and your traditions and have upset your ways, and we didn't intend to do that. Not at all. We find that they were totally unapologetic. After all, they'd done nothing wrong. They had been invited to speak. He had given a biblical sermon. We learned that last week as we analyzed his preaching. He started with the prophets. He started with the preaching of Christ and expounded the gospel to them. No way that he could begin to apologize. And that is why preachers are not to serve men, but to serve God. We're called to obey God first. And put his word first. whether people will hear or forbear. You'll see in verse 47 that they were unchanging. Why? For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. How could they change the Lord's command? Now, Paul knew, of course, that there was in the synagogue a great many Gentiles. They were in the midst. And he had said many of these things for their benefit. And we're told that I have set thee for a light of the Gentiles. And then verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, you'll notice Paul could take advantage of the situation. He knew his audience. He knew how they might respond. And he quoted the scriptures, how he was sent to the Gentiles, that he might be a light to the Gentiles. And those that were Gentiles in his hearing listened intently and were glad. And so he was unchanging, unchanging in his message. And this has to be our boldness to defend the gospel in the face of opposition, however it may arise, however it may appear. And often our attack in the Free Presbyterian Church comes from the contemporary movements. We are told that this is no longer the way to do church. This is no longer the way to lead worship. And if you keep to the old school way of preaching or apostolic preaching, you'll never build a church. Well, we know it's not the easy way, but it is God's way. And we cannot change and we cannot apologize because we're called to preach the word in season and out of season. And that is our commission. Now, we're not commanded to be offensive deliberately. I don't believe that the preacher has to be caustic and vinegar and wire brush. I believe there are the sweet and wonderful things of the gospel and the grace of God and the beauties of Christ that we must delight ourselves in. But we preach them. We're not going to change them. And this is how we are to respond in the midst of opposition. Secondly, you'll notice that opposition requires faith in God's saving purposes to bring men to eternal life. And I'll bring you now to verse 48. Now, I know that's a long statement, that second point, so I'll quote it again. Opposition requires faith in God's saving purposes to bring men to eternal life. Now, read verse 48 and you'll get this. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. They're saved God's saving purposes. God had ordained, he had predestined certain individuals. We're not told how many, but they are plural. They're more than one. As many as, we're told there, to eternal life. And God had them in mind. He had set their destiny, ordained them to life. And this was God's purpose. And Paul was just the messenger boy in the midst of the purpose of God. Now, I should pause here tonight and say that this text is very much the pivot of Calvinistic and Arminian thinking. And there are many who will contest and say, well, that's not what this verse is teaching. Well, I'll let you be the judge of that tonight. I will give you tonight the tools to do your own homework. I will give you, first of all, the Greek word for ordained. It is in the Greek language the word tasso, T-A-S-S-O. That probably doesn't help a lot, but at least now you know it, and you can be familiar with this. The word tasso in the Greek New Testament appears eight times. Now, any Bible student who is going to do his homework and discover, does this word ordain really mean prearrangement, or does it mean people who are just people who are inclined to hear the gospel? Because that's the argument. Calvinists say God prearranged these people's conversion. The Arminian would say God doesn't prearrange a man's conversion. God may incline a man's heart, and he does his own arranging from then on. So that's the difference. So if I give you tonight the tools, you can decide tonight whether you're going to be a Calvinist or Arminian. Right? I'll give you that liberty. So let's look at the eight verses. Now, I will not take all night to do this. It won't take very long at all. I'll start tonight with Matthew 28, verse 16. Right? Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Right? The word behind appointed is tasso in the Greek. And you can decide whether that means a prearranged or an inclination. I think you'll have to decide that. It's not a big decision. Luke 7, verse 8 is the next reference. Luke 7, verse 8. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And here you have again in this text the word tasso. And you'll find, having under me soldiers, and I say unto him, go, and he goeth. And in that text you have tasso. Now, is this prearranged, or is it just inclining you to do it? The next text would be Acts 15, verse 2. Back close to our own passage here. Acts 15, verse 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem. The word determined is translated from tasso. Now again, the question is that prearrangement, or is it mere personal inclination? I think the text speaks clearly. Acts 22, verse 10. Acts 22, verse 10. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. Now again, the word appointed is translated from tasso. And question is it prearrangement, or is it a mere inclination? And I think it speaks very clearly.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course to reach men with the message of the gospel. And our messages are from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We take the sermons of our pulpit ministry and seek to air them day by day on this station, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., and also our half-hour church service on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on this station. And so I hope that you'll be a regular listener. I hope that you will pray much, stand with us here as we let the Bible speak week by week. Now, our church is the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. It's on the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We would love to have you along at our church services. Sunday school hour, 9:30 for all ages, 10:30 morning service, and 6 p.m. our evening preaching service. We would love to have you here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Come along, join with us for a service, and introduce yourself. We look forward to meeting you and to hear from you. Also, you can join our Victoria Church. We'll give you information of that if you call us on our number here, 604-576-1091, or go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And again, join us, please, again, as we let the Bible speak.